Hello, welcome to this week's Therapy for Me. And I've just got back from IKEA. We've been buying beds for Jack for his room. And I don't know if that's a good time or a bad time to record a TFM. And I'm not going to talk about IKEA at all. It's just the whole thing about getting home from IKEA, that sense of relief to a certain extent. I didn't have meatballs. Managed to avoid the meatballs this time around. But we'll give it a go and see if that makes for a good or a bad TFM. Anyway, let's crack on with a bit of that twangy guitar.
Monday.
I'm going to try and do an audio unboxing, which I guess is probably the single most pointless thing you can do. But I'm going to try it anyway, just because I wouldn't know how to film an unboxing video. And even if I did, I wouldn't know how to share it and get it to you all. I could get it to the patrons on the Patreon channel, but it's all too complicated. And it's far easier just to describe it as we go along. Now, this happened last Saturday. So last Saturday, a parcel appeared. And it came in a box that could have held a CD. And it's not unusual for me to get CDs. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but I have received CDs from various people who've sent me things because of the various podcasts. So I've had things sent along in terms of albums and what have you, which is all lovely when it happens, really, really nice. So I thought to myself, oh, somebody's sent me a CD. It could have been somebody we've spoken to on 9 to 42, could have been somebody that just knows me, but somebody sent me a CD. So I opened this box and got another box inside that had Paddy Power on it. Now, it then says Paddy's Reward Club. Now, Josh has taken to gambling. He's taken to doing various bits of gambling around accumulators and what have you around the football and match betting. And he's now betting on things like if somebody has a shot and somebody else fouls and somebody has an assist and there's more than five corners, and if all these 27 things happen, then actually the 35 pence he's gambled turns into £3.75 or whatever it does. It's more complicated than that. All I can tell you is that in terms of his return rate, it's shocking. He's basically given Paddy Power about 50 quid over the period of about 4 or 5 weeks, which mirrors my example of when I tried to have a go at this as well. And he's having a crack on my account. Anyway, as it turned out, I don't think I had a Paddy Power account, so I think I must have opened one recently. And it must have been at the point when they were pushing this reward club, because I got this parcel come through. And it's kind of folded together cardboard, so it all kind of springs open. So you kind of sort of get the little tab out, and the whole thing's opens up. It opens out into four bits, as you'd expect. And inside, there is what only can be described as a pair of green Y-fronts with yellow trim. And I think the yellow trim is fairly important. And the band around the top that you would expect to see Calvin Klein, that clearly says Paddy Power. So it's a particularly vibrant pair of Y-fronts in that classic Y-front design. And it says on the inside, "Welcome to Paddy's Reward Club. Knickerboxer Glory. We don't have a secret handshake to identify ourselves, but matching pants. Thank you for your loyalty." And I just think it's brilliant. I think it's beautifully put together and executed. I just think the idea that they would send you a pair of pants and that you would signify your loyalty to Paddy's Reward Club by pairing your pants, and then if you happen to be in a location, flash the band or something to somebody else that you think might be a fellow Paddy Power's Reward Club member, I think is absolutely beautiful. So nothing has made me smile quite as much as this delivery and the way it was done, and B, what was inside it. Josh shared this with a load of his mates who are also on Paddy Power, who are gutted that this must be a short-term thing because they haven't got theirs.
Tuesday.
The P25 Mark II is dead. Long live the P25 Mark II. It's a Cambridge Audio amplifier. It's been in my possession since, I'm going to say, about 1994, maybe 93, maybe 94, when I bought this hi-fi system that I've got. It sounded absolutely beautiful. It was £119, I think, at the time. And I've never got rid of it because on the few times I've been to upgrade it, I've basically been told that it would cost me a considerable amount of money to get anything that sounds that much better because it was such a well-made amplifier. It's been crackling for a considerable while. And after being played for about 15, 20 minutes, it tends to cut out on one side. Now, I'm sure I could get it fixed. And that might be something that I look into in the future. It's had various speakers with it, but for quite a while now, it's been in my office with a pair of Gale monitors. And I just got to the point where I wasn't playing records because it would do 5-10 minutes and then it would, there'd be all this interference and all this noise and whatever. As I say, it's probably easily fixable, or possibly easily fixable, because things like power amplifiers aren't that complicated, but I wouldn't know where to start. It's going to involve some research. It doesn't mean I won't do it, but I needed a solution in the short term. And so I've ended up buying a new power amplifier, which is much smaller, actually. There's designs now of these things that are considerably smaller, because the old hi-fi was all in these kind of 19-inch width chassis, and this new one's in well, effectively what I've done is I've bought an amplifier and a CD player that would fit into the same space that the old P25 fit into. And what it's meant is, not only have I listened to more vinyl this week than I've probably listened to in the last year, I've also been rediscovering CDs, and that was why I made the decision when I saw the amp. It's a project thing. It's called a Stereo E-Box. And I saw they made a CD player that went with it. And I read some reviews that just said, this is a kind of a quirky thing. Who's buying CD players these days? But it's really quite nice that somebody's made one. And I've updated my speakers as well. And I've now got a new setup in my office. And I have had great fun going through CDs over the course of the last week. And I know Spotify is really simple. I've got a pair of Genelec monitors on my desk. I can easily listen to Spotify. That's what I tend to do. But there's been something really nice about going along the CD shelf and picking out things that I haven't heard for ages that I would never have got to on Spotify. I don't tend to surf Spotify in the same way that I surf my CD shelf. So this week I've listened to some classical, listened to Berlioz the other day, Symphony Fantastique, which was absolutely great. I listened to the Thea Gilmore album that I bought when I went to see Thea Gilmore at Christmas, which I'd bought with the intention of just literally burning so I could put it on my watch to run to. But now I've listened to that. I've listened to some Rob Thomas that I haven't listened to for a while. I've listened to Sunhouse, which is an amazing album that I don't know if is even available on Spotify. So I've just been doing a bit of surfing and rediscovering my CD collection. And I know I talk a lot about vinyl. I think vinyl is a great thing, but it's also nice just to re-embrace the CD thing, which I can now do.
Wednesday.
I'm concerned about opposition not doing the thing that it's supposed to do. It's always the fear in a democracy that the opponents of the governing party don't actually fulfil the task they're supposed to fulfil. And I'm concerned about it from a UK perspective, but I'm also concerned about it from a US perspective. And it's made me start to think about a potential flaw in the US system, which is this lack of a leader of the opposition party. There's no figurehead because the leader of the party effectively runs for the presidency. Then you have this vacuum, obviously, where unless there's a real nailed on successor, you know, post some form of defeat, then you don't have that figurehead to... I mean, I know that the house is supposed to do its job and there's supposed to be all the stuff going on, you know, as far as laws are concerned and all those kind of things, and all that still happens in a way that it still happens over here in Parliament as well. But when you're talking about what's going on at the moment with the zone literally being flooded with information by Trump, most of it disinformation, there isn't one single point to magnify the response to that, to actually articulate a single response that will get the headlines, that will be the official opposition to the thing that's in government. And it's only struck me this week how much of a flaw that potentially is in the American system. And I think what's hidden it, I guess it's a couple of reasons that hidden it. One is that we've not found ourselves necessarily in this place where you've got somebody doing what Trump is doing at the moment. So while you have a president on either side that respects the Constitution, respects the way it's all put together, plays the game the way the game's supposed to be played, then those things are less important. But when you've got a maverick, when you've got somebody who's going rogue, then you need that counterpoint, that counterbalance, maybe even somebody who's a figurehead to provide the alternate to the rogueness on the other side, if that makes sense. But to at least fight fire with some form of fire, which doesn't seem to be there at the moment. And it got me thinking about the UK, because it isn't there. I wonder if it's there as well with the Conservatives. And I appreciate it's a big majority in the UK. It's similar in that respect to what's sort of going on in the US, because everybody in the GOP has just rolled over in the US, so they're just going with it. Nobody on that side appears to be putting up any kind of a fight. And my concern is that all the good stuff that should go on with the opposition party, with His Majesty's Loyal Opposition, it probably is happening, but I don't know how diligently it's happening. And the one thing I always thought about Starmer was that Starmer would do the detail, he'd do the grunt work, he'd make sure that the government was held to account at things like committee stage and within select committees and all those kind of things, which is what you want the opposition to do. And I don't know under Badenoch if the same thing is happening. So it's weak opposition in two different ways, but it's worrying me, because in that vacuum, then on both sides, over here or over there, you're going to not get the best government you should have.
Thursday.
The thing that has brought me the most joy this week has been Harrison Ford and the series of little kind of adverts that are building into what will be about a 10-12 minute short film for Glenmorangie whiskey. And they're just beautiful. And I must be in a demographic, because they've been appearing on my Instagram feed. I think it's my Instagram feed, might be Threads, don't know. But they've been appearing, and I've watched a couple of them, and it did the thing it needed to do, which is it drove me to the website, and then I've watched them all. They're directed by Joel Edgerton, who I think was in the Star Wars sequels or the prequels. I think he played Uncle Lars Owen in the Star Wars prequels, I think. And I think he played the role again in Kenobi, actually. But he's directed them, and Harrison Ford is just magnificent. They're beautifully scripted. There's some lovely moments in them. It has brought me more joy than I care to, than I can probably actually articulate. And actually thinking about it, that a couple of minutes, there's going to be 12. So it's going to be more like 20, 25 minutes when it's done, I think. Anyway, I'm guessing. I don't know. But I'll put the link in the notes. Just go and immerse yourself in them, because they're just lovely. And maybe it might be a white middle-aged male thing. I don't know. In which case, I apologise if it doesn't. If it doesn't land with you, it doesn't land with you. It's really landed with me. I think they're great.
Friday.
Okay, I'm going to finish with three things. We'll try and wrap this up quick. I'm going to try and do, because I can't not mention these things about Trump. It's so difficult not to mention Trump when you're doing stuff like this, particularly with what's going on. So I'm going to do Two Sides of Trump, and then I'm going to do something to watch if you can find a way of watching it. The Two Sides of Trump are... I was chatting to a colleague who I have very good political conversations with and who I respect very much. We sit on different sides of the political sort of fence, not that far apart, but far enough apart. But I respect him, and he's an intelligent person, and he thinks about things. And he said to me that to ignore all the Trump stuff around Ukraine, because in reality, the point in all of this, and the point that Trump's trying to make, and that we should listen to, and he gave me that line that a lot of people give, which is ignore what he's saying. He doesn't mean it. Ignore the stuff that gets thrown out. You can't focus on that. You've got to focus on what ultimately is the thing he's trying to trigger. And the thing he's trying to trigger in Ukraine is basically to say to Europe, you've got to sort yourselves out. You've got to put the money in. You've got to, if you're really concerned about Putin, then actually you've got to stop faffing about and support Ukraine. And I don't know if I can buy that argument as it's that clever and nuanced as that, because the way he's going about it and the things he's saying and the nonsense, the Russian nonsense that he spouts, the Putin lines that he spouts, undermines all that. But this is an intelligent person who's told me that and who I respect. So I'm going to try and think about that a little bit and see if any of that works. If I can find a path through this, I don't think I'll be able to, but I'm going to see if I can find a path through to see this as something that actually will potentially have an outcome that is worthwhile. Because the fact of the matter is, Europe does need to step up to the plate at this point in time. And if you remove the backstop, you have no choice. So let's wait and see what happens there. Even though Europe's in chaos, let's see what happens. The other side of that is the fact that the governor in Illinois did a state of the state address, where he made the case for what's going on in the US now being very much like what was going on in Germany in the early 30s. And it's a really powerful bit of oratory. Now, that is far easier for me to accept with my political viewpoints, the things I'm worried about. I can plot that path far easier than I can plot the other path that I, started with. And it's an exceptional piece of oratory, and I'll put the link on to watch it. I was really very impressed. But then I'm now trying to stop myself going, hang on a minute, I'm making leaps here that are no better than the leaps in the other direction. So parroting the Putin lines and what have you, which really I struggle with, I need to be careful that I don't parrot the other lines and take America off in my head to being a fascist state, which it is not going to end up as, just because that's the way I find it easier to process these things. So those are my two sides, because I'm trying to keep two sides going at all times if I can, even though it's really, really, really hard. He makes it really difficult for you to actually think about it logically, and it makes it really easy for you to make jumps and go to places you don't want to go to. But I can't finish on that. So I'm going to finish with the Jason Isbell documentary, Running With Our Eyes Closed, which I think you can watch on Apple TV. I think you can. I think it's HBO as well in the US. I'm not sure. I would really urge, if you can watch it, if you've got half an interest in music, if you want to watch something that's really, 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 really incredible, then watch that documentary. It was filmed around the making of the Reunions album. It started pre-COVID and went into COVID. It's very, very raw in places. It chronicles troubles in his relationship. And we know since then that he's got divorced. And it's very much the picture of a troubled artist who nevertheless is something very, very special. So if you get chance, or if you can find a way of watching it, it's long, it's an hour and 40 minutes, but it is television that you can't take your eyes off when you start watching it. So it's not a light-hearted end to the week, but there's a lot of humanity in it at the same time. It takes us back a little bit to, certainly, not before this podcast started, because this podcast started before, but it takes me back to that point in time, but looking at it through a different lens. So if you get chance to do that, then I would urge you to do that. And if it is on Apple, and I've only just checked and done a search to see it's on Apple, and that's what it says. But if it is on Apple in the UK, it's worth taking a free subscription. Remember to cancel just to watch it. It's that good. Right, I'm going to leave you there. It's 20 past nine. I'm going to go and see if Sheffield Wednesday have managed to equalise against Burnley, because they could do us a real favour tonight if they do that. I hope you're well. I'm hoping you're finding something to cling on to that works for you. I'm clinging on to various things as they come along. Anything I can literally grasp, I am clinging to. And look, the nights are getting lighter. Let's go with that. It's getting a bit warmer. The nights are getting lighter. Take care of yourself. I'll speak to you next time.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.